Christian Church Monday Manna Bible Study, and we are here waiting for you.
We're certainly grateful for this daylight savings time, I tell you.
It takes
a little getting adjusted to once you get started, but we're going to press our way. But we're so grateful for each of you who are tuning in tonight. Let us know you're getting a clear signal and that everything is coming in with the sound as well as the picture. We're certainly grateful for all that God has done and how he continues to include us in his plan for what he's trying to get done in the earth realm. And it seems like, Lady Kim, that so much is happening. We need all the believers on point and on deck and in place when it comes to praying and when it comes to interceding, when it comes to just believing that things are going to get better and that this too will pass and that God is still in control. Because when you look at the landscape of our world today, many people perhaps have a lack of confidence and faith in believing that God's going to handle the situation.
Amen.
And yes. So we have to continue to be steadfast. This is when we really need our faith, and this is when we really need to be clear in terms of who and whose we are and know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is going to see us through this.
Yes, he will.
Do you believe that?
I believe it with all my heart because he's done it before. He'll do it again.
That's right. That's right. I was talking with my brother Sam yesterday, and he was telling me about the violence in Indianapolis. And I said, man, we got so much stuff going on here. We barely hear about anything happening outside of Memphis. But Memphis is almost, it's raging. And the fires are raging in Memphis. But we know a God who can see us through. So we're just reflecting. Y'all come on in. Let us know you're getting a clear signal. Let us know that everything is going well with the sound as well as with the picture as you are coming on tonight. Well, it's a lot of light out there, Lady Kim.
Yeah, praise God.
It's going to be a couple of more hours of daylight, don't you think?
Yes, I'm glad. That's the only thing I like about daylight savings time is that I like that the days are longer. There's more light.
Mm-hmm.
So that means I can take an evening walk. Amen. Okay. And it's not dark.
Let me write that down. You said you can do what now?
Take an evening walk.
Okay. We got two dogs out there, so
yes.
They'll be more than glad to accompany you on your evening walk.
I know one will. The other one won't.
Yes, she will.
All
right. That's neither here nor there right now, but everybody said we get a good signal and everything. All right. Well, let's have prayer as we prepare. We're going to be in the 11th chapter of Leviticus, and there are about 47 verses there. Is that correct? And so we're going to see some very interesting things that's going to come out of this particular chapter. So you can go ahead and start perusing that now as we prepare to go to God in prayer. God, we are eternally grateful for your presence. We thank you for your peace that surpasses all understanding.
Yes.
We thank you and know that we believe that you are a healer and a deliverer, and there's nothing too hard for you. And so we thank you for forgiving us of our sins. We thank you, dear Lord, for yet strengthening us where we're weak and building us up where we're torn down. We thank you that you continue to show yourself strong on our behalf and manifest yourself even in the midst of what seems like a dark time. We always see a constant light that you're ever present. And so, God, we pray tonight that you would just allow your word to be quick and alive within our spirits. And we pray for those who are yet kind of straddling the fence and still in doubt and still questioning whether you are going to be able to see us through what we're going through. And many times when we see things in the natural, we kind of lose sight of what you're able to do in the spirit realm. So God, strengthen our faith, increase our faith, and give us a boldness and a sure determination to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that everything is going to be all right.
Yes.
So God, bless now this time that we're going to spend together studying your word. You've already decreed that it will be indeed a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. So we yet give you praise and we thank you in advance for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And praise God. Amen. All right. Well, Lady Kim, this past weekend was an exciting weekend around ATOP. Would you agree with me on that?
Yes, it was.
It started Saturday, really. And we had moved our regular leadership meeting on the first Saturday of each month to the second Saturday. And we found ourselves juggling a lot of things that first Saturday with our cleanup, but that didn't happen. Have you found another date for that yet?
Not yet.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But spring is right around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have a lot of work that we need to do around the church to just kind of tidy up and throw away some things and make sure that everything is in order. But we had our leadership meeting on this past Saturday, and Dr. Dana Murray Patterson was our leader, and she really did an excellent job in terms of helping us understand really a little bit more about how we are to relate to those who are not like us or who are different, and help us to break free from our own prejudices and biases that many times is not revealed until we find ourselves dealing with somebody who's moving a little different than we are. Would you agree with me on that?
Absolutely.
And she is the vice president for diversity and inclusion.
She's the vice president of and chief officer of diversity and inclusion at Wingate University.
Okay. And so part of that is what she really kind of tapped into when we began to have our leaders come together, and she began to share in the workshop that we had on Saturday. And a lot of information, I tell you. And we were really interested in dealing with the pronouns that a lot of people are using nowadays, and how if we are left in the dark, I believe it will give us a slow start in terms of how we approach people that want to flow a little different than we're accustomed to.
Mm-hmm.
Would you agree with me on that?
Yes.
And so she kind of opened that door for continued discussion and continued understanding about homosexuality, and then also about the behaviors or the lifestyles of those who are maybe in a real sense believers, but something has happened and something has changed and thrown them off track, and their lifestyle has almost dominated their approach and their way in which they move in their belief around God. And so I think one of the challenges that we face, and one of the things I really wanted her to kind of tap into, was helping us to understand how we can bridge the gap in terms of understanding the behaviors of those that we don't really understand, and then using that understanding to help us if they want a relationship with God, then most definitely, we definitely want to lead them and direct them in that process. And if they're looking for change, then we have been called to be change agents. So we want to make sure that we don't become so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good. You follow me?
Yes.
And I think one of the guiding scriptures for me in that whole process is John 3:16, where it tells us that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And not for us to get so caught up in those who are different than we are, and not trying to help them and guide them to a place of understanding as it relates to God's word. Now, I know I said a mouthful, but that was just my take on what I was looking for. And as she indicated, even before she actually got started, that this is a process. I mean, a lot of people indicated that they were already confused around pronouns and around how the different people, you know, act, and how they their behavior is not lining up with their belief. And a lot of people left still uncertain about what they heard, and not clear in terms of breakthrough coming. I'm just kind of summarizing. That was Saturday in the workshop. What do you think about that, Lady Kim?
Well, I think one of the things that she helped me to understand is the reason why people are now beginning to use pronouns.
Okay.
You know, why do I have to identify myself as she, her, she or her,
they
or them, or he or she? Is because when you look at a person, it's not apparent of their identity.
Okay.
Also, sometimes when you're addressing a person through an email, you can't identify who they are as a person. For instance, she used a good illustration that her name is Dana, and most of the Danas that she knows are males, but she's a female Dana. And so she uses her pronoun Dana, she, her, to let people know that she is a female Dana. So sometimes using a pronoun has nothing to do with your sexuality.
Okay.
But has everything to do with how you identify. And so that cleared up a lot of things right there for me. And then, again, it could indicate your identity or how you identify. For instance, someone that's a homosexual could refer to themselves as, you know, it could be a female referring to herself as or he or him. Because that's who they identify with, the gender that they identify with. So, and it's all about a respect thing, or being respectful.
Okay.
Not so that you can push your ideology or your identity onto anyone else. It's so that you can be addressed respectfully as who you are, as female, as lesbian, as homosexual, as queer, you know, as transgender. You can be identified and accepted for who you are.
Okay.
So that's what my major takeaway was from the session. I really wish she could have spent more time. We needed more time, at least a few more hours.
That's right.
To talk about things and really break that nut open and get some more meat out, you know.
Okay.
But we didn't have that time, and so she's going to have to come back and
give us a refresher.
Give us some more. Yeah. Yes.
And I think another thing that really kind of stood out was identifying how many times people get stuck in their tradition and in their past till they're not open to how people are moving nowadays, and thus we miss an opportunity to witness or to, you know, share with them or meet them where they are. Because she talked about the golden rule and the platinum rule, and how the golden rule, a lot of people are still living under the golden rule. But now,
what's the golden rule?
Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Is that right?
Yes.
And so if you all messed up and jacked up and tore up from the floor up, you wouldn't want anybody else to, you know, put that on you. You follow what I'm saying?
Yes.
And so people are now have moved from that perspective. And she introduced us to the platinum rule. And the platinum rule, you remember how that goes?
I don't.
I think it has to do with do unto others as you would have them it's about them receiving people where they are and not trying to transform them into who you would want them to be.
And not only that, when you say do unto others as they would do unto you, what if someone is treating you poorly?
Right.
You know, you should not treat them poorly.
Absolutely.
I think that's the basis. So the platinum rule is that we need to treat others
the way they want to be treated.
The way they want to be treated.
Right, right.
You know, I think everybody wants to be treated respectful.
Mm-hmm.
Sister Poindexter said, regardless of a person's identity as Christians, we still have to show them love.
That's right.
And that's what the Platinum Rule is all about, mm-hmm. loving people as Jesus loved people.
Right.
And I think that's what the whole conversation is about. Dr. Butler says, as they want to be treated.
Right, right.
So I know Jesus came in. Jesus was a transformer. Jesus was one who transformed situations. He was an inclusionary. He was inclusive in his ministry. Jesus included women in ministry.
That's right.
Jesus included the Gentiles.
That's right.
Which the Jews tried to exclude. Jesus included the poor, because the poor were excluded on every level. Only the rich and the very powerful were the ones that had power to rule and to make rules and say what was right and what Absolutely. Was wrong. But Jesus came to do away with all of that.
Right.
To show the way through love that everybody has a right. Everybody has a right
access.
To this. Yes, and should have access.
That's right.
So I think that's what inclusion, diversity, and equity is all about.
And belonging.
And belonging,
right,
yes.
Right,
belonging
right.
is mm-hmm. a new mm-hmm. word that mm-hmm. was that I was introduced Absolutely. To on Saturday. Yes.
And so we are clear as believers that God has no respect of persons, but we get caught up in trying to put on others our background and our baggage and our
ideologies
mm-hmm. and fail to understand or try to get an understanding about where people are and what they're going through. And we're not called to force anybody to do anything, but we're called to be carriers and bearers of the word of God, and God does the work. We can't change anybody. And so we have to make sure that we understand and we're clear in terms of who we are first before we can change or help somebody else get changed, because that's where that golden rule really kind of goes out of the window, mm-hmm. because a lot of people, like you said, if you want them to do, you want others to do unto you as, how does it go? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Is that the way it
yes.
goes? And some of us are not at a place where we can really ask somebody to be like us, mm-hmm. or because we are going through. Everybody has issues. Everybody has trials. And the other thing is that you can't separate sin and try to put it at different levels
it,
for
right
your
there.
Convenience and for an opportunity for you to feel good about your sin and look down on somebody else's
yes.
sin.
And yeah. I think she brought out all have sinned.
That's right.
And, you know, I think that's when she was preaching on Sunday. All have sinned and fallen short. And last time I checked, all means all.
That's right.
So when we go through life, we can't pick out one sin just because it's a glaring sin. We can't pick out one sin and say and point the finger and say, they're living in sin or they're operating in sin. Again, God is an inclusionary. God is inclusive. And he loves us unconditionally.
Mm-hmm.
So because he loves us unconditionally, we're also to love unconditionally, which is hard for us to do. And we're not to push our ideas and our thoughts onto other people just because I believe this way, you should believe this
right,
way also.
Right, right.
And so the charge to the church, and I know we need to move on, but the charge to the church is inclusion,
mm-hmm.
to include people, to accept people as they are,
mm-hmm.
To make them comfortable, not make them comfortable in sin, but make them comfortable in the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Okay.
When we point the way to Jesus Christ, let God do the transforming.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I remember your dad used to say, God told us, we need to catch the fish and let him clean them. Okay. You know, we're trying to clean the fish mm-hmm. before we catch them. Okay. You know, but we need to catch the fish first and then let God clean them.
All right, Dr. Murray, you're preaching over here tonight.
Amen.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good word. So that was just Saturday. We haven't even talked about Sunday
yet. I know, right?
But Dr. Dana Murray Patterson, my niece, and my brother Samuel Murray's daughter, Dr. Samuel Murray, she's not a preacher of the gospel. She's a speaker. And before we invited her, I had heard her give a speech, as she would call it, but she was really, you know, opening up the word of God.
Expounding on the word.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so I asked her before she came, would she feel comfortable in doing that? And so we talked a little bit after the service, and it was not a traditional way of what many people are accustomed to hearing on the at the preaching hour. But she took her text, and I think it was from Romans, the 5th chapter, yes. verse number 8, and kind of piggybacked on what we talked about in the workshop. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then she used as a sermon topic, or as a title for it, the message was recognizing the treasure among the trash. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that was powerful. And that whole 5th chapter really kind of helps us get a sense of our worth and understanding. And it has to bear out in terms of understanding who and whose we are, because really there's some treasure in all of us, you know, and many times people come from broken situations, and they come from situations where their worth has been, you know, diminished based upon what other people want to characterize in terms of their value and worth. And I think when we understand that Christ died for us all, even while we were yet sinners, he died. He sent his son that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And so, yes, there's some treasure in all of our trash. There's some divinity in this dust. And God is the one who makes it happen. And we have to understand and recognize the worth and as well as the value that we possess as believers.
Amen. And then, you know, she talked about how God takes time to see us in our mess and provides for us anyway. Mm-hmm. You know, so again, God looks beyond our faults and he meets every one of our needs.
Okay.
And then she also talked about how our worth level has nothing to do with me. My worth level has nothing to do with me, but because of what God has done on the cross, when Christ went to the cross, he redeemed me from all unrighteousness. And so my worth and my value in God has increased.
Okay. That's great. Did we have any comments there as we're moving, getting ready to go into Leviticus?
One comment says, I have a colleague that schemes, begs, and always trying to get over. Then on the other hand, that colleague tries to spread the gospel. It frustrates me, but I don't want to confront her about it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, that's a prayer point that, in my opinion, that you need to take that to the Lord and ask him how to confront or how to bring that up, or when something arises that you'll be prepared to share what God would have you to share. But we can't really be in the, you know, I think the saying that we've used before is that we're fruit inspectors. Mm-hmm. And so a tree is known by the fruit that it bears. And so you don't have to judge. We don't have to judge. Because none of us are perfect. All of us are wrestling and grappling with something, but we can inspect the fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And if the fruit doesn't look like what it's supposed to look like, then that tells you a lot about the tree.
Amen. And just as you see that through that person, others see through that Absolutely. Person also. And so, you know, the Bible also say the sheep sheep know my voice. Mm-hmm. You know, the shepherd says the sheep know my voice. That's right. They know who to follow.
That's right.
And even though the person might be doing something good on one hand, which is trying to spread the gospel or trying to, talk about scripture, mm-hmm. That's a good thing, you know. And so sometimes we have to overlook, you know, sometimes, you know, let me put it like this, rotten fruit always falls to the ground, all right? And so we don't have to try to pick the rotten fruit and throw it away.
That's good.
The rotten fruit will always fall to the ground. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, even the wino on the street might have a word.
That's
or some common sense.
That's right.
For you, you know.
That's
so
right.
My mother used to say, you know, there are a lot of preachers out here, millions of preachers out here, and you can get something good from every one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And every one of them says something kind of off the wall every now and then. But you have to pick the meat and throw the bones away.
All right.
So, I'm, you know, Mama used to say that. So I think that's another one. Pick the meat
mm-hmm.
and pick off the meat and throw the bones away.
Okay. No, it's not about judging. And you're absolutely correct. Spreading the gospel is indeed serious business. And so one of the other examples of that is that if we don't let our light shine, if we don't open our mouths and be an extension of God's grace and mercy by sharing the gospel, God'll use a donkey. He'll use a rock to cry out. And so that even gives us more opportunities to let our light shine.
That's right.
In that situation.
Yes.
And that's where, when it's darkness, the light will prevail and shine bright. Isn't that right?
That's right.
Y'all can chime in if you have comments. We're getting ready to move into this 11th chapter. But much of what we're going to talk about here in this 11th chapter is dealing with some instructions in terms of cleanliness. And then we also see how clean and unclean animals and the respect factor that God is setting in place, as well as I see it as dealing with some character issues too,
mm-hmm.
because this is the 11th chapter of Leviticus, and there are about 47 verses there, but we're not going to try to read all of that. But I think a lot of what God is trying to get established here is setting up a process and protocol, and he's using Aaron and his sons as the model to establish what was going to come after them. He's giving out detailed instructions about clean and unclean food and purification of women after their childbirth. And I think chapters 11 all the way through maybe 15, you'll see that this is going to be a constant process that's going to take place in terms of what God is trying to get done. And he's really dealing with the character of the leaders, as well as those who are going to represent him, and how important it is for them to take serious the mandate that he's put in place. Because once the leader goes astray and starts doing the opposite of what God requires, then you can lead other people astray, and he'll hold you accountable for that. So I think part of the lesson here for us tonight, Lady Kim, is to put being before doing.
Being before doing.
Being before doing.
Okay.
In other words, and it's similar to what we were talking about in reference to the workshop, you've got to get yourself right before you work on anything else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's important for us to make sure that we are recovering, or we are moving forward, and we are doing the best we can in terms of getting ourselves in order, so that when we do present the gospel, or when we do present the ideas of God to other people, then we don't get caught up in, you know, being ashamed of what we have to say.
Amen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So any other comments you see coming through?
Not right now.
Okay. So, you know, many times, even when it comes to us trying to delegate or identify those in the church that we want to be in leadership position. We look at, you know, mechanics. We look at their skill set, their gifts, and their technique and their methods. But we even go as far as if someone has the kind of charisma that excites and gets people, you know, energized, that they feel that that's the person or that's the kind of spirit that you want to be in leadership. But we neglect oftentimes, I believe, and we're going to see this coming out, is the character of the person. Because man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. And so we can get caught up in the gifts and that are given, but we don't really look at the character of an individual in terms of how they should, you know, move in leadership. And so I think this 11th chapter, as well as all the way through probably chapter 15, we'll see how God will begin to set in motion this whole character issue, even though he's talking about clean and unclean, but he's really being detailed in terms of how those who are in leadership should have the proper character in order to execute those things that he's putting in motion.
Amen. All right. And I think we need to keep in mind, too, that the time in which these things were taking place.
That's right. That's right.
You know, the setting in which
the
it
culture.
Was taken,
mm-hmm.
the culture, that's mm-hmm. it, that's mm-hmm. the word I was looking for, the culture mm-hmm. and in which this was taking place.
Mm-hmm.
And so just like Jesus came and he was the lamb,
right.
the sacrificial lamb, so we no longer have to give sacrifices.
Right.
Or we no longer have to go to a priest or the high priest with our sacrifices to be atoned for our sins. We can go straight to God. This is another instance
mm-hmm.
Of, you know, what we should and should not eat, you know, has now been rectified. And I think it's found in 1 Peter, I think it is, where it talks about clean and unclean food.
Okay. And that was part of what Paul had to deal with when he and Silas, I believe, were being sent to the Gentiles
mm-hmm.
and how they were really questioning the preference of what people eat and
mm-hmm.
how they saw the Gentiles doing things that were not customary to what they thought was the way in which God would have them. And so was that Silas who had the vision? And
that was Peter.
That was Peter,
uh-huh.
yeah.
Well, the vision in the Apostle Peter's vision in Acts the 10 makes it clear
that
these dietary laws are no longer applicable to the disciples
mm-hmm.
of Jesus.
Right. And so
rise, Peter, slay and eat,
yeah,
wasn't that
uh-huh,
it? With the
uh-huh.
dream, the vision he saw
in
Acts 10, yes.
And so that's part of what, see, we're looking at Old Testament culture in a New Testament frame of reference.
Mm-hmm.
You follow me?
Yes.
And so, like you said, we have to keep it in context of what was happening in that day and time. But see, we're viewing it from the lenses of the New Testament, and we're under grace, and we no longer have to present sacrifices. And Paul reminds us again to be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. And he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you really present your bodies as a living sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to have a circumcision of the heart
mm-hmm.
and in order for us, our heart to be right. I like what Dana said on Saturday, how listening requires listening from the ear, the eye, as well as the heart,
mm-hmm.
you know, and God wants us to be attentive to all of those things, but our heart has to be receptive to what he's trying to get us to see.
Amen.
That's kind of, Dr. Butler has a comment.
She said, identifying who we are in Christ, the
mm-hmm.
being, allows us to do or walk in the way.
Okay. That's good. So we have to identify who we are first, in Christ. Yes. And that was back to what I was talking about earlier in terms of we have to go about put being before doing. And so, because we can be more harmful than we are helpful if we have not really fully immersed ourselves or fully moving in the direction of allowing that same change that we want to see in somebody else happen in us first.
Right. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yes.
What else do you have there, Lady Kim? Any other comments in terms of us getting ready to go into this 11th chapter?
Well, you know, some people try to discredit our faith because they say, you know, well, in Leviticus, it talks about clean and unclean things and what we should eat or not eat. And they try to discredit us as Christians because they say that we need to obey the whole Bible.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
And that we're not really Christians because we eat bacon or we eat crab legs or other unclean animals. But
crawfish.
Yeah, but this is a foolish criticism because it reveals their lack of scriptural understanding. These rules were never meant to be applied to modern Christians, nor were they imposed on any other nation of people contemporary with the Hebrews, as far as we know. So these rules were strictly for the Israelites, that they were under God's law, you know. And so that's when we talked about, you know, when Peter's dream came in Acts, the 10th chapter, you know, it made it clear that these dietary restrictions were not for.
They were lifted.
They were lifted. Right, yes, they right. were not for us, where it says, right. Rise, Peter, slay, and eat.
Okay, okay. Mm-hmm. All right, and, you know, before we move forward, we're not going to read all of this. There are 47 verses there, and I think what we've already shared were highlights and kind of instructional. We encourage you, to read it for yourself, but we have to make sure that we allow it to be applicable to us and understand what God is saying to us even today, even though the establishment of what he had set in motion took place in a culture that's much different from ours.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that right?
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of substance here, but it's dealing basically with what might be eaten or what might be touched, you know, in those 47 verses. Mm-hmm. And he goes into detail just kind of describing that whole process.
Mm-hmm. And I think he starts out by talking about the animals,
mm-hmm.
you know, that should not be eaten by them. You know, talked about hoofed animals and cloven-footed animals and those that chewed the cud.
Cloven-foot? That
yes.
sounds like an oxtail to me.
Well, you know,
go ahead. No, I'm just ain't trying to.
Don't start. That's okay, right. We don't want to cut off our oxtail supply.
I know that's right.
I don't know if oxen have cloven foot or not. Cows do.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So that's why that cows could be eaten, because cows have cloven-footed. Their hooves are cloven, and horses' feet are not. You know, mm-hmm. you look at it's a horseshoe, where cloven means that it was split.
Right.
There was a split in it. And so they also had to chew the cud. Now, chewing mm-hmm. the cud means that they chewed their food and swallowed it, then they regurgitated that food
mm-hmm.
and chewed it some more, ate it, you know, to digest it some more. So they had to do both. They had to chew the cud, and they also had to be cloven-footed. And so mm-hmm. that was considered clean. They couldn't do one or the other. They couldn't have a cloven hoof and not chew the cud. That was considered unclean. But again, these things were rules for the Israelites.
Right, right.
Nevertheless, it talked about, you know, back in the day, when I was researching this, they said that giraffes were cloven-footed and chewed the cud.
Is that
so
right?
So they could eat a giraffe. That's just a little hidden mm-hmm. on, you know, something.
If they could catch them, huh?
Probably so. But, yes. But I never heard anybody eating giraffe, but hey.
You might be on to something now because, you know, we'll barbecue a giraffe and you won't even know what it is. Put that sauce on it.
Oh, Lord.
Cook it medium well.
It talked about, you know, eating swine and it being right. unclean. And then it went on from animals to fowl, or fish,
mm-hmm.
that anything that had scales and swam in the sea could be, you know, had fins and swam in the sea, fins and scales, then it could be eaten. But any other thing was...
You eat crawfish, brother?
I don't eat crawfish, okay. No. I don't care for crawfish. You know I don't care for crawfish. They look like bugs. They look like riches.
Riches.
They look like little ugly riches. No, but I do like crab legs, so, right. Yes. And then it went into talking about fowl, you know, all mm-hmm. the birds of the air, which birds could be eaten and which birds could not.
Right.
So it just went through each category of what was considered clean and what was considered unclean.
Okay. Well, what about around verse 22 in that area? It talks about the... Insects.
Yes.
Right. Isn't that interesting?
They eat some of the insects even. And you know, people in other countries do eat insects.
Absolutely.
You know, in China, they eat locusts and mm-hmm. chocolate-covered ants and right. things like that.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so it amazes me that the person who came up with a lot of the things that we are eating in this day and time had to be in a situation where they were willing to do what was necessary in order to satisfy their appetite. Who would ever thought that you catch a crab and then you go, you know, put him in some water, but they probably would grill him back then more so than boil him. But that was kind of a necessity, when people are in survival mode. Then they would have to eat what was presented to them or what they could find in order to survive.
That's right.
And Dr. Tunstall said amen to the crab legs. And absolutely. So what else do you see here, Lady Kim? We're getting ready to close this out. I think it's just a clear understanding here in terms of unclean and clean, and then also giving us some handles in terms of understanding the culture and, as I said earlier, the character of those who were leading so that they could be clear in terms of how they would lead others. And they were being used as examples for the rest of the tribes or the rest of the nation to follow their example. So it came to pass through Aaron and his sons, as Moses was instructing in terms of how they would move forward.
Amen. And so I think, you know, eating the clean things and unclean things, again, reverted back to the sins of the nation.
Mm-hmm.
And just to follow up with or to tie this lesson all together, that Jesus is our perfect high priest.
That's right.
Aaron was the high priest. His son were priests. Jesus is our perfect high priest. He was sinless. He was perfect. He was holy. And because of his sinlessness,
mm-hmm.
he is our perfect high priest. He is able to do adequately and appropriately. He can deal with all of our problems with sin once and for all. So we don't have to be relegated to those restrictions,
right?
Those food restrictions.
Okay. All right. Well, as we said earlier, for those of you who are following along, we're not planning on attempting to read all of those verses, but we just gave a recap of, and this is going to be a continuation that we'll see happening throughout the next 4 or 5 chapters. In terms of establishing this whole order and putting things in motion in terms of do's and don'ts and restrictions and understanding the details that God sets in motion for the nation of Israel to follow. So let's stop there for tonight, Lady Kim, and on next week we'll pick up with chapter number 12. Is that right?
That's right.
And one of the things we forgot to mention during the worship service, we Dion, our oldest grandson, he invited one of his friends to come to the worship service on Sunday. And he told me before service that he wanted me to meet his friend and that he had invited him. But Dion was rebaptized, what, a couple of weeks ago? Mm-hmm. And that's just a clear example, in my opinion, how people, you know, ought to be once they decide they're going to turn their lives around, ask God to change it. You ought to tell somebody. You ought to be excited about it. You ought to let your light shine. Somebody else ought to know that you're doing something different. And your closest friends many times are the ones that probably need what you have received the most. And so he said this was one of his friends from college and that he was excited and he evidently had to share with him something. And before the invitation, I can get it out good. They were coming on down the aisle. I didn't know that he was going to come. He probably didn't know either, you know, but that's how God works. And that's the kind of witness and that's the kind of example all of us ought to have. And praise God, we ought not let our lights go out or put a bushel over our lights. We ought to let our light so shine. We are believers and we are a city that's set on a hill and people ought to be able to see what God is doing in our lives. We ought to be reflections of the goodness and the grace of God until even your closest friends, even if they're still out there struggling and trying to make sense of it all, they see something in you that perhaps draw them a little bit closer and want to find out how God is moving in your
Amen.
Life.
Thank
if
you.
Any man be in Christ,
yeah, he's a new
hallelujah,
creature.
He's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Praise God, behold, all things have become new. Isn't that right? Isn't that what the word says?
That's what it says.
All right, I ain't going to get too excited here. I'm not going to preach tonight. You've already preached, Dr. Murray, and so we're going to prepare to close out. It's a little early, but do you have any prayer requests or any information we need to be aware of as we prepare to close out tonight?
Yes, I just want to remind all the ladies who signed up or registered for the Disciple Women's Ministry Spiritual Journey is happening this Saturday at New Direction. And so we will see you there at 9:30 a.m. But before that, on Friday night, this coming Friday.
Somebody say Friday night.
Dr. Murray will be preaching at the 10th anniversary celebration of Dr. Geraldine Rush and the House of Christ.
That's right.
So come on out. 7 o'clock p.m. for the anniversary celebration on Roscoe Road in South Haven, Mississippi.
Yeah.
And we hope
10 years.
Hope everyone will come out and support Dr. Rush in the House of Christ Church.
That's right.
And then again, I said Saturday is our Disciple Women's Journey, Spiritual Journey, and our own Dr. Deborah Reed will be our resource leader, and so we're mm-hmm. looking forward to that also.
Absolutely.
And let's see, what else? There's going to be a leadership fast coming up, so mm-hmm. put it on your calendars. For the leadership fast, it'll start March the 25th through the 31st, mm-hmm. 7-day fast.
That's the Holy Week.
During Holy Week.
That's right.
So prepare your hearts and minds for that. And then we want to lift up our bereaved families. And if you have any more prayer requests, put them in the chat, please. We want to lift up our member, Brother Robert Britt, in the loss of his daughter, Catherine Jones. She was also a member of ATOP, so we want to lift that family up. We want to lift up Pastor Marquise McPherson and the loss of his dad, Marcella McPherson, that funeral was on, that celebration of life was on yesterday in Lebanon, Tennessee. And Pastor and I were not able to make it because we, you know, had planned the workshop and had out of town guests, but we had several members from ATOP who were there to support Dr. Marquis Taba Socorro. That's prophetic right there. Dr. Marquis, yes. And then we want to lift up Sister Cynthia Elliott and the loss of her sister. Her sister's name was Gwendolyn Garnett, and that memorial service will be held this week in West Palm Beach, Florida. She told me it wasn't going to be in West Palm Beach. It was going to be in one of those other little cities surrounding. I can't remember right now. But we want to lift up those bereaved families in our prayers, as well as our sick and shut-in that are listed. We are so thankful that Brother Charles Reynolds is now at
home.
We are so thankful that Mother Elizabeth Hughes and Mother Roxy Briggs are home from the hospital. And so continue to lift them up in your prayers, as well as all of the others that are on our sick and shut-in list.
Well, Lady Kim, I'm yawning.
And guess what? It's still light outside. Know, right? Wow.
I'm a couple hours away from my lay down time.
Yes, don't do it.
Don't do it.
Don't do it.
But let me say this before you close us out with prayer. I'm so excited and elated for how ATOP and the members responded to my birthday.
Oh, yes.
I tell you, that was a tremendous blessing on yesterday, and I certainly appreciate it. And several made presentations. I probably should have worn my T-shirt tonight. It says "Classic 1953 Classic." I believe that's what it said. But the young people gave that to me, and it had money all on it, you know. And then all of the ministries were able to come together and bless the pastor. Thank y'all so much. And I'm just excited that how God, you know, we have a serving church, Reverend, and a working church, and a loving church, a giving church, and they respond, you know, and they bless wholeheartedly, and they put themselves in it. I read my cards, and I, you know, I don't just go in searching for how much is in the card. I read my cards, and I noticed the signature. One of the cards that really, and I left it at the church, but it had a checklist of three things that I could choose from and said, choose one of these things. I think it was a card or something like that. And when you open the card up, it says one. I said one of the things, and the arrow was pointing at the card. So that was funny. I mean, I might have it mixed up a little bit, but one of the members gave me that, and I said, wow. Then my good friend, Brother Barnett, you know, he just blessed me, and I was just overjoyed. I mean, it was just a beautiful time. And for the culinary ministry and for those who work so hard in the kitchen, you know, in preparing and setting up, Miss Amelia and Sister Carolyn Holmes and all of the group, they just did it. They just outdid themselves. Then we had a special order that we brought home with us from one of our dear members. I'm not going to call her name, but those oxtails were on point yesterday, so we appreciate that tremendously. And just everybody who just poured out and express their love and appreciation. We thank you so much.
Amen. We do thank you.
Yeah. All right. Well, you ready to close us out tonight?
Yes, right? I am. Let us go to God in prayer on tonight. Precious Jesus, how we how we lift up our hearts, minds, and our voices to you in praise and prayer. We ask tonight, Father God, that you be in the midst of your people, those who are watching now and those who will watch virtually at a later time and date. God, you know our needs individually. You know our needs collectively. And we ask that you would be in the midst today, God. God, we pray for those who are bereaved tonight. We lift up the family of Brother Robert Britt and Sister Catherine Jones. We lift up the family of Pastor Marquise McPherson. We lift up the family of Sister Cynthia Elliott. We ask, God, that you would give them the peace that surpasseth all understanding.
Yes, God. Yes, God.
We even lift up the family of Dr. Karen Todd and the loss of her father
tonight, God. Thank you.
Oh, God, we ask that you would comfort her heart in a special way. And, God, we thank you that you have allowed those to return home from the hospital. We give you praise and glory for continuing to heal Brother Charles Reynolds, Mother Roxy Briggs, and Mother Elizabeth Hughes. Thank you for bringing them home from the hospital.
Thank you, God.
And, God, all the others that are listed on our sick and shut-in list, you know who they are, God. So we ask in the name of Jesus that you would continue to bless them, O God, continue to heal their bodies that they might be able to run on to see what the end will be, continue to comfort the bereaved, and then, God, give us the strength that we need in order to go forth to carry your word, to be light in darkness, God. Let us poke holes in darkness that our light might exude, O God, in times of darkness. Let us say the right things. Let us do the right things at the appropriate times that will make a difference in the lives of others. And we thank you for those members who are going to come. We thank you for those, oh God, who are going to give their lives to you.
Yes,
we're
God.
Claiming it right now in the Jesus. Name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And we ask, God, that you would be with us and go before us as we go through the remainder of this week. It's in Jesus' name we give you thanks and abundant praise. Amen.
Amen.
And thank God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God. Thank y'all for being a part of this study tonight. And next week we'll be in the 12th chapter of Leviticus. So go ahead and read ahead.
Amen. Good night, everybody. Thank you for joining with us. Bye-bye.
Be blessed.